Hey,
hello and welcome back to the Overthinkers podcast. My name is Arolu Abide and I'm joined tonight by my friend who have co-opted into co-hosting this podcast with me. Please introduce yourself.
Hi everybody, my name is Toby Johnson and I'm Aura's friend who she has co-opted into hosting this podcast with her. Hi.
I don't know why you're waving because nobody can see you wave apart from me. So I'm just going to dive right into it. So Toby, culture bits. What are you watching that you want to share with us? What are you listening to? And what book have you read?
Yes. I am watching The Good Place. The Good Place again.
You're watching it all over again?
Yes, I'm watching it all over again. I think I'm watching like season two already. And I think it's such an interesting show. I mean, for people that haven't watched it, you all should just go and check it out. It's such a good show that one of the things that makes such a good show is one of the reasons that people can't talk about it.
Why? What makes it such a good show?
The end of season one.
Oh, okay.
So, but like,
okay, it's, do you it's want to spoiler. Put spoilers? Okay, I'm not giving spoilers.
I'm not giving any spoilers. I can't. Like, for anybody that watches that show and likes that show, they cannot give spoilers because they want people to experience the So that now that I'm watching it again, I'm like, of course.
I saw a picture on Twitter about the cast meeting over for like a sleepover in one of their houses, and people just were going crazy. I feel like it has like a little cult following. The show.
I think it does. I'm not part of the cult following. Maybe I should find them on TikTok.
You are watching it a second time over. That means you're definitely part of the cult following. Well, is this your second or third time?
Probably my third time actually, because it's really that good. It talks about philosophy and moral ethics.
You are a member of the cult. You are a member of the cult.
I don't mind. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, everybody.
What are you listening to?
What am I listening to? What music am I listening to? I think I've been in somewhat of a musical drought.
That's weird. You're a musician. How are you in a musical drought? Shouldn't you be listening to other songs for like inspiration and stuff? Not that you should be copying them, though. Because I can't pay for you if they sue you for copyright infringement.
I'm not Ed Sheeran, though. They will catch me.
But to be fair, right, I actually read that case because I really like Ed Sheeran, and I'm just like, there are so many musical, they're just a limited number of chords on the acoustic guitar, so people should leave the man alone.
Oh no, definitely.
Because he actually said after the last one that if he didn't win that one, that he wasn't going to make any more music, but at least he won, so maybe he'll release another album for us to listen to.
I mean the case was, in my own opinion, it was just an attempted cash grab, right? Because I don't know how you'd be suing somebody based off on the foundational. It's like suing somebody that, oh, you used ABCDE in your writing. How dare you? That's copyright. Come on, man.
That's not how that works.
But back to what I listen. So I'm not really listening to anything, to be honest. I've just played like my music, like, you know, playlists. So it moves from worship music to Metro Booming, across the Spider-Verse soundtrack to Hans Zimmer.
I like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, and then I kind of jump into Alexander Hamilton. And then
Hamilton's track is 100%. Like, I knew all the songs before I even watched the play.
Precisely.
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. And, you know, that's
so why you reading?
Just up and down the place. What am I reading? So I basically just spent like the last week and a half just doing research on sex and the church, right?
Sex and the church. Yeah, we're not going to go into that because we're not going to leave this podcast. Yeah, no. But that sounds like a very interesting topic.
It is. It's very. So I entered with a very thick bias with like, what do people want to say again? It's sex before, you know, sex before marriage. What are people talking about? And I thought you were like, is that so?
Are you really sure?
Wow. And, you know, as a researcher, you have to be somewhat unbiased in your reading, right? And for me, it wasn't until I kind of got into it, before I realized, I'm very biased. So that even as they might be presenting quote unquote logical arguments, right?
Be like,
I'm like, you people are going to hell.
That thing you just said, right? You don't realize how judgmental you are except until you start to actually be aware that you need to not be judgmental. Does that make any sense?
Exactly.
It's like, until I'm like, all right, I need to consciously make an effort not to be judgmental. I wasn't aware of how judgmental I'd become because of all the messaging that I'd received growing up. So now I'm just like, I just catch myself up like, auntie, you're judgmental. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. People are allowed to have things. People are allowed to do what they like. Move on. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
so what are you exactly reading?
So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
Oh no, you just said what you're reading.
That's
yeah.
what I'm reading. Yeah, that's basically what I'm reading.
What am I watching? Yeah, what is Aure watching? So, you know, last time I said that I've not watched anything because I've been watching old, like early 2000s romantic movie. I'm happy to announce that the curse has been broken. It has been lifted.
Hallelujah.
Not that romance is not good. I'm still a romance G and queen, and I will still watch at least one romantic movie every week because that's just me. Take it or leave it. I have unrealistic expectations. Thanks and God bless.
Amen.
What did I want to do? What was I watching? Okay, yes, watching. I recently went on to like Apple TV. I recently went on to like Apple TV and I was just perusing Apple TV. Now I've lost my train of thought. I need to gather myself back together. Is it still too high? Okay, so I recently was just scrolling around on Apple TV because I've been doing scrolling on all like my other platforms, and Apple TV lets you watch like an episode to drag you into then make the payment. So I came across this show. It's called Swagger. It's basically based off of Kevin Durant's life. Kevin Durant is a basketball player.
I know who Kevin Durant is. Now. How dare you?
No, I'm explaining to the public because I watch I consume at least. The same way I watch one romantic movie every week, I also watch like 4 or 5 basketball games every week. Even though the season is over at the moment. Oh, Summer League has started, by the way. Like, Summer League is on right now, but Summer League is not as interesting as like the playoffs or like regular season. But as at that, I still go back and watch like old games. So Kevin Durant's executive produces show Swagger, and it's about like, it's loosely based on his life as a 14-year-old basketball phenom. And I found it so interesting that I watched the whole season, the first season in one night. I didn't sleep until 6 a.m. Shout out to me for sticking it out. I actually really enjoy it. I think the best part for me of the show's is the basketball scenes because they are so well shot. It's very different as to like basketball scenes that I've experienced in like other like sports movies and stuff like that. Like they are really beautiful scenes. What else? Okay, yeah, season 2 has started, but I don't know why Apple TV does this whereby they release an episode every week. I do not have the patience to wait, like, whatever. So I'm waiting for them to release all the episodes of season 2.
That's funny.
I have the patience to wait for them to release all the episodes before I watch it in one night like I did season 1.
You 90s kid. You grew up on watching Passions every week.
I actually never watched Passions because my bedtime was by 8 o'clock.
But I watched Passions. Come on, get off it.
If Dr. Bidoye catches you, by the way, Dr. Bidoye is my mother. If Dr. Bidoye catches you on the steps peeping, she's going to beat you with Omorogo. She will beat you with Omorogo and send you back to your bed.
But come on, I mean, we basically grew up at a point in time where everything was every week. You watch a new episode every week. If you're watching DSTV,
you wait a week.
But all of a sudden, Netflix come out now. All of you are like, I don't have patience again. Oh my goodness.
I'm super spoiled. I really don't have the patience. So I've checked it. All the episodes will be out by August 11th. Yeah, so by August 11th, I'm going to go in and then watch the whole of season 2 at once. Like, I cannot handle, like, all those suspense. And I really hope they don't finish the season on, like, a cliffhanger. Like, I really hate when serial programs end the season on, like, a cliffhanger. I'm like, what rubbish?
How would they make their money? Come on.
It is rubbish. You are playing with my emotions. What have I been listening to?
That's the whole point. It's to play with emotions.
We are not subscribed. Shall I agree with me?
What have you been listening to? What have you been listening to?
Nothing, actually. Actually, I've just been listening to the same thing. So I'm turning 31 and I'm creating this playlist. So I've been listening to like songs to create for the playlist. So when I create it, you get like the vibe of what I'm going for. So it's basically like all the different artists that I regularly listen to that I've just been listening to over and over again. If there's anything that I'm trying my best not to put so much of Benjamin William Hastings' album into it, because everybody around me knows that that's like my favorite album of all time. Self-titled album.
That characterized your 30s, your turning 30, didn't it?
Yeah, it characterizes like everything. Like, the album was released like in November of last year, but even when it started dropping like singles from the album, I was already sold before it then did like the whole body of work. I love that album. And my current bane is that I don't want to include all the songs on that album onto the playlist that I'm creating at the moment. So yeah, what have I been reading? I've actually taken a break from reading this week. I know, right? It's not like I've taken a break. I'm reading only one thing this week. So before you all scream, my break means that I'm reading a collection of essays written by Chinua Achebe. It's titled British Protected Citizen. And I'm finding out some really interesting facts about Nigeria that I never knew. So for example, before independence, if you were going to travel, you would get like a document that says that you're a British protected citizen. Basically, you are the property of the Queen and someone should not harm you. And I found that quite fascinating. You're basically property of the Queen. And then I'm reading that collection of essays. But what I mean by I'm not really reading is that that's the only thing I'm reading. Because usually I'm reading about four or five things at the same time. So I'm just reading that one collection of essays. So for me, that's not reading at all. So I do that sometimes to kind of like clear my mind and settle in into all the other stuff I've read. Then I found something really interesting in the book.
Sorry, my mind is just still stuck on
British protected citizen.
I just imagine a corgi, a queen's corgi, like
essentially colonial. That's why we needed to gain independence from her, depending on how you want to put it. We basically belonged to the British Empire, all of us.
God. In one episode of we've touched on so many controversial topics and just moving on. I want to talk. Okay, let's move on. Okay, fine.
But I feel like it's an essay to read, right? Because he actually delves into like really interesting stuff around like colonialism and talks about it, because he is born into it and he spent some time negotiating it, because by the time he's done with his university education at the University College Ibadan, Nigeria still not gained independence. So it's after his university experience, like his university education, whereby he then comes to England to do a broadcasting course. That's when he has to get like the British protected citizen paper that basically says he's the property of the Queen. But what
is giving is giving a mark is giving a mark on Abel to say that nobody can harm you. I the Lord have Christian mark.
That's a summary of it. Yeah, wow. But he also delves into like his primary school experience, his secondary school experience. So I think that there's so much of Nigerian history. There's so much of Nigeria's formation that we miss when we don't have like moments in time where we study history. So, for example, he writes about how the first two secondary schools that were established in Nigeria by the colonial masters were actually established in the east of Nigeria and in southwest Nigeria. So one was established in, I think, Ibadan, and the other one was established in Humaya. And I started to think to myself that means that the north of Nigeria did not have a secondary school. And then you can start to just observe how education has kind of like grown in both areas of Nigeria. Sorry. Because that kind of like gives you like context, because it's like you put a school here, you put a school here. And so I know that I say I'm reading one thing, but the book is making me, like the collection of essays is making me want to do like further research into what kind of went into the decision to, because he actually writes it there that I don't know why they did this, but this is what they did. But for me, looking at Nigeria today, it opens a bigger picture as to how to understand the country in itself as a whole. So that's basically what I've been reading. That's all.
Yeah,
what else?
That's basically it.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. Okay.
So now on to the next segment. Transition.
We are quite unhinged sometimes.
It is that deep.
Okay. It is that deep. So, my take tonight is that different perspectives can coexist if we have respect for the person. So I've been mulling on this idea for a few weeks now as to how we are not one thing. So we are multifaceted and we are multi-layered. So the fact that you and I disagree on something does not mean that we cannot coexist in the same place respectively. That means I can agree to disagree with you. And my inability to be able to coexist with you in an environment where we have differing opinions is because I don't respect you, basically. So my thing is, if you are fighting for respect and you want other people to respect you, then you can extend respect to another person. Even if their perspective or their opinions or their ideas generally do not align with yours, it's still fine for you to be able to respectably live in the same place. Because it's given that if we continue to say we want to only exist to people that think exactly like us, then it's an isolation to like differing worldviews and opinions. And yeah, showing gross lack of respect for others.
Yeah, I mean, so I totally agree with you that it's very possible for us to coexist in our differences, right? And I think one of the things that really makes it difficult, especially in the United States, and especially if a lot of other countries are looking at the United States as a model, is the way their political system is structured, right? So if you're a conservative, you're a Christian who likes guns.
You broke the coconut open because so backstory, right? I read a book called Everything is Fine. And in the book, there's this couple that meets, they basically intersect in college, and it documents, I think, 5 years, documents like their college experience and I think post-grad. So the book starts on the night Barack Obama was elected, and the book ends on the day that Donald Trump was sworn in. And basically the boy is conservative and the girl is liberal, and they love each other. So and for me, it was quite an uncomfortable read because there were points I also wanted to enter the book and slap the boy because I'm like, what rubbish are you saying? But then there are these moments of actual tenderness that he shows towards the girl that I'm like, okay, he actually loves her. Do you get, like, it's this weird jarring thing of he's actually conservative, and to make it worse, he's a white man and then she's a black woman.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's what this book is about. So,
oh, wow.
Like, but there are these moments of like, there's so many moments of, because then the two of them are like math geeks and I'm a nerd at heart. Like, we all know this. Like, so they have like, all their romantic moments are generally tied to like mathematical symbols and like all these things that kind of connote infinity. And I'm reading it and I'm so like sold about the fact that they love each other. And then the next moment, they are screaming their political rubbish. And I'm like, I'm people mad. And as I was reading it, and when I finished, actually I had to stop at the point because it was just too much for me. So I took a few hours break and I went back to it. Because I think I finished reading it in like the space of 12 hours. So I left it alone for a while, then I went back to it. So when I finished reading it, I went to read, like, look up the author as I usually do. And in looking up the author, I found out that our inspiration for the book actually happened right after Donald Trump's election. So she read an article that is titled, you can just Google it, there are so many articles on Donald Trump is ruining my marriage. So basically, a bunch of people actually got divorced from their partners right after the election, and a bunch of married people had to go to counseling because they had conflicting like political views, or one party was more passionate about politics than the other party. And so I read all of these articles, and the more I read the articles, there are some people that were able to walk through like their political issues and arrive at a good place, like actual real life couples. And there's some couples that it was like the political issue just blew open other underlying issues. You need their marriage. And so there was no way through for them, right? And as I read it, the only thing that jumped out at me in all of the articles that I was reading was the fact that someone wrote down that he had to get to a place with his partner because he was liberal and his partner was conservative, and that he was more politically passionate than she was, and that they both had to, he had to get to a place whereby he had to understand that they could coexist because he had respect for her. So a different perspective did not make her a bad person, and that they could actively live together regardless of their differing political perspectives. So I started to think about that in relation to not just like political things, like a lot of different things. It's like when you bring it down to like the last general elections that we had in Nigeria and the whole Tinubu saga, like people ending friendships, relationships stopping. It was just like, it's a whole thing. So in my head, I'm like, my political identification does not define the whole of me. It defines some of me, but it does not define the whole of me. So that's what happened.
If you are supporting X person, you are clearly an infidel. You do not deserve life. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately,
I don't think it's that straightforward, right?
No, I mean, like, that's kind of like how most people view such mm-hmm. things, right? The moment you identify as this, you are these other things, right? So I'm not even going to try and listen to you to hear you tell me that you are not other things. For example, if you tell me you're a Christian American, you must like guns.
Exactly. As much as I'm Christian, some of my best friends are like agnostic, and I have a best friend, I have a really close friend that is atheist, and someone's like, what are you people talking about? How do people read it? I'm like, the best thing is kind. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's the dichotomy of like man, of the fact that we are multiple things at once. We're not just one thing. And our ability to be able to see ourselves completely as a whole. That does not mean that they are not shy people, right? Let's just put that out there. That does not mean that on this existing in different perspective, that does not mean that there are not people that are like on the extreme end of the spectrum. Like, number one, those people that went to Capitol to go and disrupt the last whatever, those ones are mad. I'm of the opinion that... Let's throw them away. But I feel like there are people that are just like in the middle, that this is just like my opinion and it's not like a complete definition of self, that they are not extremist in like their perspective, and their perspective is just a sum of what makes them whole. That I think there's a point whereby you then give them a benefit of a doubt. Because this book is really wild, and there are a lot of takes online. People believe that that relationship cannot exist in the real world. But the more I did like a little bit of research after reading it, I found that there are actually people that exist within those kind of relationships.
I honestly would like to think that there are a lot more relationships like that than we know about. And it's probably because media, movies, stories mm-hmm. that are being told have painted an easy way of loving somebody. Right, is that, oh, you meet in a movie, you guys share these same interests, you guys same all these things, you know, you complete me, that kind of thing. It doesn't show the amount of effort that it takes to actually make a successful relationship, right? Because I was listening to my pastor, Pastor Poju. Shout out to you, Pastor Poju. So, and he was basically saying that, look, it basically takes work. Right, in for any relationship, like it's essentially which one can you adapt to, right? Mm-hmm. What are you going to take? Because I personally am at that point in my life where it's like, look, this is how I am, this is the kind of person mm-hmm. that I am, right? You either take me or you don't take me. If you don't take me, I'm not saying that you're a bad person. You're not a bad person, you just can't take me. It's that simple. That's how you are. I'm not saying you're a bad person, because you could be the nicest, kindest, sweetest angel in the world, but there are some stuff that you do that I cannot deal with, and I would rather throw away everything than have to deal with that. And that is my prerogative as much as it is any other person's prerogative. However, back to this thing, a question I want to now pose is, so why does it seem like we always have to have this one-dimensional way of like entering relationships? Like, why?
I don't know.
Why is it that we don't seem to give people the benefit of the doubt to present themselves as other people? Or are we too lazy to wait for someone to show all of who they are? Because you know, when you meet somebody, the questions are, what's your name? What do you do? The moment you tell me that you're a Christian a pastor, or you're a Christian engineer, or you work in tech, you're a tech bro. Right.
As a major,
all these everything, every time we label ourselves, we have labeled ourselves. And
I think there are too many labels to begin with. Because every time we label ourselves, we are just that label then.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I think there are so many different labels, but it's almost like for example, right, I am a producer, editor, designer, musician, right? Business developer, all these different things, writer, right? But I go to a place and then they say, oh, what do you do? And I pause and I'm like, okay, which one should I say today, right? Because all of these different things have given me money at different points in time, so I don't know them. So what do you do? And I pause, and then instead of you seeing that pause as me thinking about what to say, that pause is taken as uncertainty. So even motivational coaches will look at you and be like, no, that's not how you do that. You need to be certain. You need to tell them this is what you do. Because obviously,
bring motivational talk speakers here, because you know me, I don't like them. I know we'll not finish recording this episode tonight if we had them into here. Because we have the opinion that we need to let people live their lives. There's too much information on how we should be living our lives that we're not even living. That we're spending, like in the calculator, we're spending a good chunk of our time listening to people tell us how to live that we're not even living.
You know, but that's the thing, right? But is that, okay, even if you take out those people, right, people will unconsciously and sometimes even consciously just interpret my pause as uncertainty or as timidity, as opposed to me actually, you know, sifting through the plethora of activities that I engage in on a monthly basis, right? So I'm not forced to tell you I am a this.
Something.
As opposed to saying that I do this, I do this, I do that, right? And I mean, it could also be a function of, oh, there's not enough hours in the day to meet somebody in one space. But,
fair.
You know, at the same time, is if we have that understanding, then why do we immediately take what the person says as the entirety of the person?
I think caveat's right. I actually don't feel like you can completely know a person ever. Like, that's where I stand. And I think in the end, my approach to the whole thing is that if I meet someone, I say vibe all the time. I hope they don't use vibes to carry me, but the vibes have to be immaculate. Like, if the vibes are good, then whether it is like friendship or it's like a romantic situation, then I'll be interested in continuing a conversation with you. What I find, or why I see it as now, is that I am taking the leap of faith to continuing to know you. Not that I know all of you. Like, I know like your basic like morals and standards or whatever, or like the different principles by which you live your life. But to know like the depth of you and the totality of you is going to take a really long time. So I'll give an example. So my parents have been married almost 32 years. And recently, my father just woke up and now he just wants to see the whole world. And it wasn't like that before. Mm. So he's like, I was not talking to my mom, I was not asking her how she feels about it. She said she's happy to accompany him as his handbag everywhere. That she just wants to be going with him. Like, she's happy to go with him. And this is like just a very recent, an 18-month like hobby. Like, I like to talk to him. Was this something he liked in his childhood? Because my mom seemed like very surprised at the extent of travel that she was having to do. So she's like just basically like committed to like enjoying time with him, and the fact that, oh, this is what you want to do now. So yes, let's go ahead and do it together. And I think that, like, for me, it's the understanding that knowing someone is, or choosing to be in a relationship with anybody, whether it's friendship or anything, is the fact that they are always going to present new sides of themselves, and you have to be ready to learn those new sides. Like, it's an exciting, like, I know people, relationships are hard, whether it is friendship or it is, all relationships are hard because they require work. But I tend to look at the work as like exciting work, like little research work. So Toby now likes XYZ. Like, today I find out that Toby likes Good Place and Toby rewatches series like 3 times. I'm like, an interesting fact. I'll shelf it away as another thing that I learned about Toby. That I'm hoping that after 10 plus years of friendship, I should have known that already. It's like, it's just an exciting journey to continue to know a person. So
the question again, now is that why don't we offer that kind of charity to people who are just meeting? You know,
like I said, the vibes are up to immaculate. If the vibes are not immaculate, I'm not offering you any charity. Sorry.
Hey, have you guys heard immaculate vibes only?
I'm only joking.
Sign outside the door that says immaculate doors, immaculate vibes only. No entry without immaculate vibes.
I think I'm a very mood based person, right? So if I meet someone and I have one conversation off the back with them and I actually enjoy the conversation, I already know whether or not I want to continue to have a conversation with them. And there are some people that I can try one or two conversations before I then decide whether or not I want to continue to talk with them. But the caveat to the whole thing is that as much as I will give everybody a benefit of a doubt, I will not be everybody's friend, and that is fine. Like, I can be like cordial with you, we can be acquaintances, we can have like good one-off conversations, but to really invite you into my like space, the vibes have to be immaculate. I cannot describe it any other way.
You know, I feel like we all got in like merch ideas. Immaculate vibes only. That's like new merch.
That should actually look in my tagline. Immaculate vibes only. I feel like we've rambled a lot in this episode. I've talked about a lot of shit.
No, actually, summary. I think
respect people's perspectives.
We've actually pretty spot on. So in essence, we started with coexisting, right? Coexisting, it takes conscious efforts, right? Mm-hmm. And we kind of took that into, you know, just because you hear one thing about a person doesn't mean that is the entire thing, right? And I am of the opinion that
the
first impressions last and everything, but first impressions are not the only impression, right? So like, leave the door open for another impression, unless the vibes are not immaculate from the get-go, then, you know, guys, like,
see, again, right,
if you don't have immaculate vibes from the beginning, step.
I think that can be misconstrued. It's the fact that I feel like you know who you're going to get along with and who you're not going to get along with the older that you get.
True.
So in my head, I'm like, I cannot be dealing with early 20s problem in my 30s.
Hey! Like... I'm sorry. It's just the way you just said it. Like, it just reminded me of one of my... somebody that was older at the time said, all these children problems. I can't be dealing with all
this. No, I can't be because I feel like the older you get, you already know the people that people that will mesh with your personalities. You can kind of decipher people. You can kind of project like the dynamic you have with someone that you invite or introduce into your life. So my thing is, even though I'm giving space for like different perspectives to exist and I'm giving space and grace to have people around, I will still tell you, I gatekeep my space with my full chest. I gatekeep it more now than ever before. Like, I gatekeep my space with my full chest because I need peace. I really need peace. So, like I said, I can't be dealing with early 20s problem in my 30s. Mm. Like, so it's like, maybe the vibes are better described as, I know who I'm, like, you can get a sense of who you're going to get along with. You can get a sense of who you are going to, like, have a right like vibe with and progress with ease, right? Because Loki, as much as we're ready to put in the work for friendship, we'll still like situations whereby they are easy. Yeah. That's my definition of vibes I make.
Yeah. So the merch, the shirt is going to the right on the front, immaculate vibes only. If you are seeing this back, the vibes were not immaculate.
I'm not speaking to you again. You're a bad person. Unlike Toby that is choosing to not understand me, I hope others have understood what I mean by immaculate vibe. Like, as you get older, you know who you vibe with.
We've all got you now. Come on now.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Us.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure what we spoke about in this podcast, but I'm very sure that it was very interesting and enlightening. If you have any further questions, do not hesitate to email to
Beeve.
I will not respond to your email. Toby, respond really nicely to emails.
You try your best.
This has been the Overthinkers podcast, where Toby and I have shared that you need to respect people and their perspectives, or just leave them the hell alone if you do not. Also, I'm older and I'm enjoying life. And thank you again, Toby, for co-hosting with me. Toby, tell the people bye-bye.
Immaculate vibes, guys. Immaculate vibes.
Toby, I don't like you. Know that you matter. Extend love and grace to yourself. I love you, Lord. And until next time, this has been the Overthinkers podcast. Bye-bye.